Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Cătălin Câmpanu, and today's show is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's news, the Port Phillip Prison in Melbourne, Australia has been forced to suspend prisoner visits after its computer systems fell victim to a cyber attack. According to Australian media, visits to the prison's 1,087 inmates, both in person and via video, have been temporarily halted until systems will be restored. The nature of the incident is currently unknown, but clues point to a ransomware attack. In other news, French mobile phone network La Poste Mobile is still struggling to recover from a ransomware attack that took place more than a week ago and has crippled its administrative and management services. While its mobile service has not been affected, the company noted that some customer data might have been accessed. Also in news on hacks and breaches, in a report released last week, blockchain security and auditing company Certica said that cryptocurrency platforms lost more than $2 billion worth of cryptocurrency to hacks in the first half of 2022, a figure that's more than the entire of last year combined. The majority of breaches have been linked to flash loan attacks on DeFi platforms, the company said. In tech security news, the administrators of the Python Package Index, also known as PyPI, are enrolling the top 1% of the most popular Python packages into mandatory two-factor authentication. The PyPI team said it would be working with the Google Open Source Security team to distribute Google Titan security keys to all project maintainers in order to ensure their accounts can't be hijacked for supply chain attacks that could have massive consequences. PyPI's move comes after GitHub moved to do the same with the top NPM packages last year. In government-related news, the Russian government approved on Friday the creation of a national mobile app store. The store's app will be mandatory and will have to be pre-installed on all devices sold in the country. The store will operate based on rules approved by the Ministry of Digital Development, which will also curate its app inventory. In the UK, in a joint letter signed by the UK ICO and the NCSC, the two agencies asked British law firms to stop advising their customers in paying ransom demands in ransomware attacks. We quote from the joint statement, "Paying ransoms to release locked data does not reduce the risk to individuals, is not an obligation under data protection laws, and is not considered as a reasonable step to safeguard data." The ICO has clarified that it will not take this into account as a mitigating factor when considering the type or scale of enforcement action. It will, however, consider early engagement and cooperation with the NCSC positively when setting its response. End quote. In other government news, Sherry Singh resigned at the end of June from the post of CEO of Mauritius Telecom, claiming in a radio interview that the country's prime minister ordered him to install traffic sniffing equipment on the telecom's network. Singh said the equipment was meant to monitor and decrypt internet traffic for the benefit of a foreign state. Meanwhile in Europe, the Dutch government passed a bill last week that increased the prison sentences for espionage activities. A clause in the document increases the prison sentences by a third for computer offenses if carried out at the behest of a foreign power. Also in the Netherlands, the MIVD and the AIVD, the Netherlands Secret Service agencies, have been told to destroy a database they created to store the personal details of millions of Dutch citizens. The country's data protection supervisor found that the database had been created through an unlawful process and ordered the Dutch Ministries of Defense and the Interior to delete it following a complaint filed by a European human rights organization. In cybercrime and threat intelligence news, a threat actor going by the name of Royal Bank is advertising immigration services to countries like the US and Canada on the Russian language forum XSS. Threat intel firm Flashpoint says the threat actor is selling the service to Russian citizens looking to leave the country, and the service costs $5,000. In some good news for ransomware victims, antivirus maker MCSoft has released on Friday two free decryptors for the AstroLocker and Yashmar ransomware strains. In malware-related news, security firm CyberReason has published its own report on Raspberry Robin, a Windows worm that spreads through USB devices. The malware was discovered earlier this year by Red Canary, and CyberReason said the vast majority of victims are currently located in Europe. And in our last item of the day, a security researcher has published details last week on a vulnerability in the key fob technology used by Honda cars. The attack, nicknamed Rolling Pawn, can allow threat actors to unlock doors and start engines on all Honda cars sold between 2012 and 2022. This concludes the news section of our podcast. In our sponsor section, we're going to touch on a very controversial topic from last week. After it blocked VBA macros by default in Office applications earlier this year, Microsoft revealed last week, to the dismay of the entire cybersecurity industry, that it was reversing its decision and allowing VBA macros again. Let's hear from Cheryl DeGrippo, Proofpoint's Vice President of Threat Research and Detection, who's practically speaking here on behalf of all InfoSec pros.
Well, Microsoft put malicious Office macros back on the menu. It's back. I will not make baby back ribs allusions, but wow, it's pure chaos. I don't even know what to think about it. This is one of the most shocking things that has happened in the industry for a long time that a threat actor themselves did not do. It's just really wild. The argument can be made that Microsoft's trying to push into the InfoSec business, and doing that is at odds with their push to secure their software and services. It feels a little bit mafia racketeering. I'm gobsmacked, and you could probably hear it in my voice. What are they doing? And it's pretty rare, I think, for the community, the industry, defenders, researchers, to be really excited about something and say, wow, we're moving in the right direction. It's working. And that's what happened when Microsoft disabled VBA macros by default. People were really excited about that. I would say some even celebrated it. And to see a reversal on that, it's really puzzling. I don't get it.
But what's been done has been done, and there's nothing we can do about it now. We ask Sherrod how she expects the malware and threat actor ecosystem to adapt following Microsoft reversal on VBA macros.
So we had already been seeing sort of what we refer to as container files, ISOs, zips, RARs, various kinds of compression. We've seen those for years. The archiving types are kind of a cool workaround for detecting some of this stuff. We've fortunately been able to crack those open when we look at them, but it's been on the radar that malicious Office macros might not be within the toolkit for threat actors much longer. When the decision was made by Microsoft, we saw a strong shift quickly to things like containers, things like XLLs, DLLs, all kinds of different things being used by Bozloader, Ursniff, Qbot, Emotet. Everybody said, okay, D-Day is here. We're going to change our tactics. With Microsoft making the decision to revert back, we probably will see threat actors going back to malicious VBA macros, tried and true, the gold standard. A classic is back, everybody. And finally, my mind turns to the kit builders. There are so many available out there that you can download for free to do malicious macro builds. And I'm wondering if we're going to see a little burgeoning industry of malicious macro builders pop up soon. I think that this is going to happen very quickly. We're going to see malicious macros back in campaigns probably as early as next week, end of next week, or the week after. Campaigns are going to hit this really hard. So be on the lookout for the classics.
This is it for today's show. You can find links to all reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.